and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is presented by preaching minister Josh Yeager. Let's tune in now for Josh's message.
What a fun morning. Oh, that was great. Kids screaming in the background, and I can totally identify with that. Anytime you want to get something done, that's what happens. But how awesome. It's great to hear from Jason and Jen. And I hope that we can actually take what we found from them and pray for them every day. But along with their city, pray for our city as well. Because like Landry said in his prayer, we have a mission field right around us as well. 2 weeks ago, I began to kind of identify with Jonah, because sometimes we read the story of Jonah and we just think it's a VBS story or a Bible class story, and a lot of times we don't think about it in an adult way. In other words, with adult implications for us. A lot of times we think, man, that's just what happens to you when you run from God. You get caught in a storm, you get swallowed by a fish, okay? And a lot of times that doesn't really connect very well with us today, but there's actually something in Jonah that connects with us very strongly and powerfully. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we started this series, when we started talking about Jonah, I made the point that he was asked to go and preach to the most evil nation on the face of the earth that he knew about. It was dangerous. It was like walking into ISIS headquarters and preaching Jesus. It was like walking into Nazi Germany and preaching Jesus. This is exactly what God asked Jonah to do. And what I realized when I started studying Jonah is that I am not very different from Jonah. I am Jonah in a lot of ways. I actually probably would run away from going and preaching to ISIS. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know what I would do if I heard the audible voice of God tell me to go and preach to those people. I just can't tell you. And what we saw in Jonah is that his silence and inactivity was what led to the situation that was surrounding him, being in the storm, being surrounded by evil nations. And what we saw that week is that a lot of times our silence as followers of Jesus and our inactivity is what leads to the situation around us. And it's my belief that God wants to carry his kingdom into this world through you and through me. He doesn't want to just come and force it upon people. He actually wants to partner with his creation, his image bearers in this world. He wants to partner with us and bring his kingdom to this world. Have you ever felt unworthy in your life? Have you ever felt unworthy? Can you think of a moment in life when you just felt totally unworthy? Maybe you made a poor choice, a bad choice. Maybe you made a poor choice in your marriage and your wife is mad at you, or your husband is mad at you for a good reason because you made a poor choice. Maybe you made a really bad investment. Or maybe you have a bad habit that you can't kick. Or maybe you're just not as committed to Christ as you know you should be, or as you think you should be. And you see all these people when you walk in the church building and you think, oh man, those people, they're so committed to Christ, and I'm not. I'm just unworthy. I'm just not worth it. Maybe your life has just taken a turn for the worst. Maybe things in your life are just not lining up and everything is in dissonance and it just doesn't work. And you think, man, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And you see yourself as unworthy. Or maybe the situation with unworthiness has nothing to do with a bad choice or a poor moral decision. Maybe it's just that you've lived for a while and you've been around for a while and you just feel irrelevant and washed up. And you kind of look at your life and you're like, you know what? People used to listen to me when it came to how you live life. People used to listen to me to how you should live in your family, or you know, they would come to me for advice. Or maybe I was leading a ministry at the church and I had a voice at the church and everybody wanted to hear it because they took what I said with weight and they listened. But now I'm in a situation where that's just not true. People used to listen, but now they don't. And if I were a betting man, which I'm not, I hate betting because I'm horrible at it, okay? But if I was a betting man, I would bet that there's some people in this room right now who feel this way, who feel unworthy. Maybe it has nothing to do with, you know, washed up and washed out, or maybe it has nothing to do with a moral decision. Maybe it just has to do with, man, I'm young. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to lead a ministry or to teach somebody about Christ or to tell somebody about my faith. I'm just not worthy. And if this is you this morning, I want to take you to the belly of a fish. And I want you to listen to what Jonah has to say to us. Now, before we read chapter 2, we're going to read all of chapter 2 this morning. Before we read chapter 2, we have to understand how ancient Israelite people looked at the world. Okay, this is really important. And what I mean by that is that they had a conception of the world. Now, it's kind of hard to see on the screen for some of you, maybe. So I also put it in your little handout. So you can open up your handout and look in there. There's a picture. It's not the same picture. But we have to realize how ancient people looked at the world. Okay, they looked and they saw, okay, there's God was in heaven, okay, and then there was water underneath God, and there was a firmament that held the water back, and then you had the stars in the sky, and there were actually these little openings in the firmament so that water could be let in and it could rain, and then you had the earth down below. And then you had kind of these mountains on the side, and the mountains had these roots that went way down deep, and that was like the roots of the world, the roots of the mountains. And in the middle, underneath the earth, was a place called Sheol. And Sheol was where the dead people were, okay? And so this is how ancient people looked at the world. And if you want to hear more about this, you can come to my Genesis class, because we've been talking about this in depth, and I actually plan to teach the Genesis class again. And so if you have more questions about how ancient people looked at the world and what that has to say to us when we're reading the Bible, you can join me in my Genesis class. But for now, you just need to know this. You need to know this is how they looked at the world. And we struggle with this a little bit, okay? And you're probably raising questions in your mind right now because what about orbits? What about the earth being circular? What about, you know, the sun and the solar system and galaxies? You know, why didn't God tell them about all that stuff? And why didn't they look at the world the way that we know the world is? Because we've sent rockets up into space and we've dug down deep, you know, and we know what's down there. We know it's not Sheol. And the answer is, I don't know. I really don't know why God didn't set them straight. Okay, but this is the way that they looked at the world. Okay, this is the way they thought that the universe was set up. And what I do know about God, and this is amazing about God, is that he spoke to them in a way that they would understand. He spoke to them in a mindset and in a frame of mind that they would understand so that they could get who God was. And he used their misconceptions to teach them eternal truths about him. Okay, so if that kind of starts to answer the question about, you know, how these people looked at the world and how God spoke to them. But you have to understand this as we start to read Jonah chapter 2. Now, another thing you have to know about Jonah 2 is that Jonah 2 is a psalm of new orientation. Okay, and what I mean by that is that if you read through the book of Psalms, there's basically three general categories of Psalms. Okay, you have a Psalms of new orientation, which that means that you were in a season of disorientation. Okay, your life was just all a mess. Everything was junk. There were people that were after you and trying to kill you. You know, there was sickness in your life. There was persecution. There was something going on in life, and you're crying out to God. And you're saying, God, this is awful. Do something about this. And new orientation is when God acts. And then you're praising God and you're crying out to God and saying thank you. And the things that God did are very fresh on your mind. They're fresh on your heart. And you talk about what God did and how he did this. And then you lead those who hear this psalm to praise God because of it. Okay, so that's two different types of psalms. And then you just have psalms of orientation where everything's great. You know, life is going well. My family's healthy. We're having influence in our community. We're doing ministries and everything is going well and it's great. And so you have psalms of orientation, you have psalms of disorientation, and you have psalms of new orientation. And Jonah chapter 2 is a psalm of new orientation. In other words, it's Jonah's fresh experience. It's his fresh speaking to God after God has acted powerfully in his life. So that's what Jonah chapter 2 is. So let's start reading. Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 2. I called out to the Lord. Notice he's speaking in past tense. It just happened. I called out to the Lord from my distress, and he answered me. From the belly of Sheol, I cried out for help. You see, Jonah is saying, I was in the place of the dead. I was in the belly of the earth. I was in that watery grave that is Sheol. I was basically dead. And you heard my prayer. You threw me into the deep waters, into the middle of the sea. The ocean current engulfed me, and all the mighty waves you sent swept over me. And you have to understand just how disturbing this is, because the sea was always a sign of chaos. It was always a sign of destruction, and it was a sign of just being totally out of control. And Jonah is saying, this all swept over me, and this is what happened. Verse 4, I thought I had been banished from your sight, that I would never again see your holy temple. Water engulfed me up to my neck. The deep ocean surrounded me, and seaweed was wrapped around my head. I went down to the very bottoms of the mountains. You see, he's going down to the place where the mountains have their roots. He's going down to the place of the dead. The gates of the netherworld barred me in forever. But you brought me up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I called out to the Lord, and my prayer came to your holy temple. Those who worship worthless idols forfeit the mercy that could be theirs. You see, Jonah is grabbing a hold of the reason that God called him in the first place. He called Jonah to go to the people of Nineveh because they worship idols. They do not worship a true God. And those who worship idols, they forfeit the mercy that could be theirs. He sees that God desires to show Nineveh mercy. Verse 9, but as for me, I promise to offer a sacrifice to you with a public declaration of praise. I will surely do whatever I have promised. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it disgorged or vomited Jonah on dry land. Isn't that a great word, disgorge? I just had to use this translation. And so the Lord commanded the fish. Okay, now you can see why Jesus talked about, you know, when people were asking him for a sign, and they're saying, Jesus, give us a sign. If you remember this time, if you didn't grow up in church, you may not have any idea what I'm talking about. But if you know a little bit about the New Testament, you know, there was a moment in Jesus' ministry, actually in a couple different gospels, where men were saying, Jesus, give us a sign. I mean, he's been performing all these miracles and crazy things going on. And they're like, give us a sign. And Jesus says, no sign will be given this wicked generation except for the sign of Jonah. And this is why, you know, a lot of times we're like, what does he mean by the sign of Jonah? You know, he got swallowed by a fish. Well, when we read here that Jonah was in Sheol, he was in the place of the dead. And basically, God commanding this fish to spit him out, to throw him up on the beach, it's basically like Jonah's being resurrected. Any Israelite who would read the story of Jonah knew that he was in the place of the dead. And if he wasn't dead, he was really close as you could possibly get. And Jesus said, the only sign that will be given you is a sign of Jonah. In other words, a resurrection from the dead. But God's not done with Jonah, is he? He's not done with Jonah. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Jonah a second time, go immediately to Nineveh, that large city, the one I told you about before, remember? And proclaim to it the message that I tell you. Now, we don't know how much time has elapsed. We don't know if Jonah, you know, is like fresh on the beach from the wave or from the fish. And, you know, if he's got, you know, these burn marks from the acids of the fish, you know, and if he's still got seaweed wrapped around his head. We don't really know how much time has passed. But what we do know is that God calls Jonah a second time. And this communicates something to us, I believe. God may take away a ministry. You know, Jonah ran away from God. And then God took all opportunities away from him by swallowing him with a fish. Jonah had no ability to minister. And so you may be in a situation like that. You may be down and out. You maybe made a poor choice or had to have a secret addiction, or maybe there's just an apathetic spirit, or maybe you're disconnected from God, or maybe it feels like you just have no hope and it feels like God has taken everything from you and you have no ability. You're unworthy to work or to do or to act on behalf of God. And as I was meditating on this and thinking about this, I was thinking, you know what? And there may be another situation present. Maybe it has nothing to do with a moral failure or some horrible thing that you did or some poor habit. Maybe it's just that, it's just people used to listen to you, like I mentioned before, or something worked, but now it doesn't. Or once we had this many people at church, but now we don't. And you can just go on and on. Maybe there's nothing really, really bad about what's going on. It just seems that you're losing something. You're losing what God used to give you or what you used to have. And Jonah's call answers this question, because here's the thing. God may take away a ministry, but he wants to give it back. He desires to give it back. He allows Jonah to spend some time in the belly of a whale or a fish and to meditate and to think and to reclaim his focus and his dependence upon God. Because remember, Jonah was in the limelight. He had prophesied good things in the midst of all these prophets prophesying bad things about Israel. And so he was a popular prophet. And then God says, go speak to Nineveh. Go prophesy to Nineveh. Tell them they're going to be overthrown. Tell the most evil nation and a violent nation that they're going to be overthrown. So here's a popular prophet over here, and he gets this call to go and do something totally unpopular. And he runs. And so God takes everything from him. He takes everything. But the reality is that when God takes something from you, it's not because you don't deserve to have it. It's because he wants you to have a time in the belly of the fish and to readjust and to refocus upon dependence in him. And then he wants to give it back. We're in a new era at TMB. We have new ministers. We have new elders. All of our missionaries came home. We just sent one to Canada. And the mission committee is considering new ideas and new thoughts. And God is giving us a little bit of time to think and to ponder and to listen for his call. Don't be discouraged. Just know that God desires to give it back. He desires for his people to have influence and to have make a change in their community. And just because we didn't have the influence or we don't have the missionaries in the field that we had, it doesn't mean that God doesn't desire to give us something even greater than what we had before. I'm going to let David get up and just explain a few things.
Thank you, Josh. Good morning, church family. I expect everyone received the letter and information that was sent from the mission committee. I will verbally summarize it. We on the mission committee are asking for and making plans to utilize $125,000 in our next budget year. As the letter states, we at 10th and Broad are rebuilding our mission team. And I would like for you and your family to be part of that team. Included in that letter was a commitment card. We ask that you prayerfully consider the amount you will be giving during the next year and put that amount on the card and bring it next Sunday. I am very excited about having the Rollins out in the field spreading the gospel in Canada. I believe Canada is close enough and safe enough that our families and groups can plan a trip there to to encourage the Rollins in their work. I truly believe we can do more. I believe there's a large number of us that would welcome the opportunity to let God's light shine through us right here in Wichita Falls. About a year ago, the mission committee asked the elders to consider hiring a missionary for right here in Wichita Falls. For many years now, this congregation has shown a willingness to reach out to the people in our community. The mission committee has been working with the elders on the possibility of hiring a missionary that we could work with on a regular basis. There are a lot of uncertainties. There are a lot more questions than we have answers. I know if we put it in God's hands and we act boldly as Christ would, great things will happen. I believe that we can make a huge impact in Wichita Falls.